And amen. And I'm going to say to you that God is going to stretch each one of us. And he's going to ask us to go past our comfort zone. So today is past my comfort zone. So just so you know, because I'm doing communion. So when we do communion, we think about what Jesus did, like what he suffered in Isaiah 53, how he was wounded for our transgressions and he was pierced for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace, for our peace, was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed, right? And we think of that every week. But I've been thinking about it, and I thought, you know, Jesus uses an analogy in the Bible. He talks about giving birth. Like, you know, how he knew what he had to go through. He knew how hard it was going to be, but he had his eye on the prize, that what he was going to get in the end. And for any of us who have had a baby, you know, sometimes after 30 hours of, it's hard. It's really hard. But you don't look at all that stuff you went through, and it's very uncomfortable, and it can be very embarrassing. But you look at the prize that you have in your arms when you're finished, amen? And so I was thinking, when I sat down with communion with the Lord, I thought, you know, Lord, he was looking at the prize. What is the prize? The prize is us. The prize is us. His glorious inheritance in the saints. Because when he rose from the grave and was seated at the right hand of the Father, and he was far above all world power, dominion, authority, and every name that can be given, we were taken up with him. Us. So we are seated in the heavenly realms, far above all world power, dominion, and authority, and every name that can be given. And we have authority and power in his name. Amen? So when he looks at us, he sees himself. Because we have the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus, and we have the Father. We have the Godhead in us, and we are walking around full of his power and his authority. That's the prize that he had his eyes on. And I was thinking that, and I thought, the other thing is too, I was thinking about stars. I thought, you know, when we look up in the heavens, when there's no other light around, it's full of stars. We need to be like stars. So when God looks down on us, he sees our light. Because we are people that walk in the light. Amen? And in his power. That's why he endured the cross. That's why he went through what he went through. But one day the Lord was talking to me, and I thought, you know, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I thought, is God going to say to us, did you walk in the fullness of what I did for you? Did you actually get it into your heart and not just your head? You know, are you people that truly know the prize that I won? So I want to say to each one of us today, it's good that, thank you, Lord, that he suffered so much for us, but he did it for a reason. And he did it so we would come into the knowledge, the heart knowledge, not just the head knowledge, of what he is, who he is in us. Amen? And what we are to him. We are his glorious inheritance. We're his glorious inheritance. We are his glorious inheritance. Amen? So as we take this communion today, and we thank God that he did sacrifice himself for us, for our peace, for our healing, for everything. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you and praise you that your body was broken so that we, Lord, could come into this glorious inheritance, and we could be your glorious inheritance. So let's take the bread today together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And God, we thank you for this cup that represents your blood. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that every sin, Lord, if we come to you and ask forgiveness, it's gone. Lord, you shed your blood so that every sin, doesn't matter how big it is, would totally and completely be gone in Jesus' name, as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, that you grafted us back into your vine, that we are your family, that we are your children. So God, we thank you that today as we take this, Lord, and Lord, we say to you, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving us the revelation, wisdom, and the knowledge of who we are. Who we are in you, Lord, because we're called to be your glorious church. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That'll be awesome. We're going to look at the love of God revealed this morning. Amen. Amen. Awesome. The headset microphone is not being used this week. We had a bit of static and we had some other stuff going on, so we'll fix that during the week. Because everything works on frequencies nowadays. If there's a crossover of frequency, you get a thing going on. So, Father, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you that your word is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword to divide soul and spirit. And we ask as we yield to you this morning that you would continue to have your way, that your word, Lord, will be made manifest afresh into our life. We don't want to just hear the word and receive it with joy and then forget all about it. But Lord, we ask, God, that we would hear it, we would receive it, and we would understand it in Jesus' name. We thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit that you speak to each one of us as we open up your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. It's kind of one of those mornings, I've got some notes in front of me, but I kind of feel that God's going to do some other stuff. But we're going to try and keep to this topic as much as possible. The word revealed is really significant here. We can talk about the love of God, but the word revealed is actually significant because the love of God is not a feeling. It's an action. There's a something that happens with the love of God. The problem that we have a lot in the church and in our nation is that people filter the love of God through their understanding of what love is. Yep. You know, because if you walk throughout society, you hear words like, I don't feel the love anymore, or I'm not in love with you anymore. Like you hear all these phrases, and so people filter what the love of God is through our understanding in a human way, but that's not the way we do it. We need to filter the love of God through the word of God for what it actually is, amen? And the love of God is called to be revealed. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He didn't just sit back and go, oh yeah, this, you know, I really love these people. No, I'm going to demonstrate, I'm going to reveal my love for these people by sending my son for them, amen? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God was revealed through Christ. He demonstrated it by laying his life down, amen? John reminds us in 1 John 3, he says, let us not love with words, but with actions and in truth. That's the love of God revealed. Let us not love with words, where we just say, Wayne, love you. Love you, bro. And then just walk away. That he would know that he is loved. Is there an amen to that? I really believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do something significant in and through our lives. I keep hearing the verse of scripture lately. It says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Eagerly desire, it says, pursue love, which we're going to look at. Pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you would prophesy. We need a move of the Spirit in our nation and the gifts of the Spirit manifesting through the church today more than ever. Religion won't do it. Just speaking about it won't do it. Paul said, I didn't come to you with just wise and persuasive words. But I came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom but on God's power is an amen. And what was said before is so true. We know stuff up here, but we need the revelation down here. You know, I've been in so many circumstances where I see people trying to almost convince someone of something. It's not our job to convince them. It's the Holy Spirit to convict them. We're not here to convince people. We're here to partner with the Holy Spirit, and He will convict people. Sometimes we just need to go, you know what, I don't really have anything, so let me pray for you. And you let the Holy Spirit do the ministry. And we're going to get to you next week. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially when you prophesy. Because God is, we've been talking about it lately, it's the day of the saints. It's about each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. Walking in the fullness of what God has for you. Walking in the fullness of what Christ paid for you. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. Not for us to just live comfortable, laid-back, armchair lives, but to live lives of worship unto Him. That people would say of the people here, of the people of this household, these people have been with Jesus. How do people know that we've been with Jesus if we don't allow God to reveal Himself through us? Get in your prayer closet. God, you know, the powerful and the simple prayers are so important. Sometimes we think we have to have many words, but you know, it starts with, God, I want to know you more. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, remove anything in me that has to go, that I would be filled and overflowing with your Spirit. Is there an amen? We're going to look at that next week. But we can't do that without looking again at love, because it says pursue love. Pursue love. And then eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Any ministry that is not based on love is not the heart of God. Because Paul said you can give everything you have away to the poor, but if it's not out of love, it's nothing. You can prophesy, you can understand all mysteries, you can speak in the tongues of angels, but if you have not love, you're just a gong. Where's Dion? It has to be love, is there an amen? It has to be love. What has cut short moves of God on the face of this earth? It's a lack of love. It's a lack of character. A lack of character and a lack of love cuts the moves of God short, because we get in the way. We get in the midst of it. I get, you know, jealous of Wayne because of what God's doing through him. I get competitive with Steve because of what's happening. You know, Annie offends me, and I just don't deal with it well. It's the lack of character. It's the lack of love revealed that cuts through the flow of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is saying, come up higher, come up higher, come up higher. Don't get caught like little hens, just quack, 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 quack. Scatter, 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 scatter. But come up higher with the eagles. Come up higher with the eagles. Come up higher with the eagles. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Don't play with chickens when you can fly with eagles. I don't even know where that came from. I just say it was the Holy Spirit. But it's so true. Don't play with chickens. They're scratching around in there. Fly with eagles. The perspective is very different. And the stuff that you think is, you know, you deal with, it's like, oh no, that's actually not worth even worrying about. It's true. We say this is how I fight my battles, and then we get our hands dirty and get involved in it. It's actually God, it's your battle. You said you'd do it. You're my defender. You're my shield. You're this, you're this, you're that. We need more love. I so believe in a move of the Spirit of God across the face of the earth that is ever increasing glory. Ever increasing glory. Until He comes. Yes, the world is getting darker. Things are getting darker, but the church is meant to get brighter. The people of God are meant to get brighter. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. That's who we are. I believe in a move of the Spirit that is ever increasing glory. The love of God is critical. Is this working? You can hear me okay out there? Just checking. You know, we only have to open Scripture. We haven't got time to do that because we've been here for a long time. If we looked at the verses where Jesus said, love one another. There's one. By the entrance to the toilets, there's a good reminder. This is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you, John 15:12. Time and time and time and time and time and time again in Scripture, we are reminded to love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another. But then Peter in 1 Peter 4:8, in Hebrews 13:1, and in other places, we are encouraged to maintain love. Sometimes we have to maintain it. Even in your marriage, sometimes you have to, you know, you just might go through a little bit of dryness or barrenness and stuff's just happening around you. You have to maintain that first love. Bonnie and I go out for coffee every week and we just maintain that connection. We sit in the lounge room, we talk about things. You know, you've got to maintain it. You've got to guard it. You've got to guard that time. You've got to guard that space. So you have to maintain it. And it's true in the body of Christ. You don't just love one another. You have to maintain it. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We have to maintain it. And then we're also reminded in Scripture in Romans 12:10, 1 Thessalonians 4:9-10, and in Ephesians 4:2 to go deeper in love. Go deeper in love. Do you know there's always more to God's love? There is always more to God's love. Always. How high, how wide, how deep, how long is the love of God? It's never ending. We think we go deeper only to realize that there's another layer. We dig a well to hit water only to realize there's another place to go in the love of God. There's no fear in love. His perfect love casts out all fear. The one who fears is not yet made perfect in love. I don't know about you, but I don't know of anyone that doesn't carry some sort of little fear. Well, maybe there's some of you here that are really super. Maybe you should be doing this instead. I'm not sure. We're made perfect in love. And I realize at times, and I think we probably all realize that when we go through stuff and when things happen in our life and there's a little bit of worry or stress or fear, it's like, oh yeah, I need more of the love of God. I need to understand that He has brought me out of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, whom He loves. And nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ. Nothing. I am accepted, loved, and secure even on my bad days. Anyone ever had a bad day? Well, I've got a few honest people around me, haven't I? But again, we filter the love of God through that because we are so used to conditional love. In this life, we are so used to conditional. If you do this, I will do this. The hardest thing to grapple with is the fact that even on our worst days, God still loves us. What? You're loved. I've just stuffed up, but I've just done this and I've just done that. Doesn't change the love of God. Doesn't change the way that He looks at you. question is, I guess, what does love look like? If we're talking about the love of God revealed, what does love look like? You know where it starts? It starts by knowing that you're loved. And if there's some of you that are here today that are still grappling with that question, it starts with praying, God, I need to know the depth of your love for me. I need to know that you are a good father and that you love me. You need to know the love of the Father for you today. Because we can't give away what we first haven't received. And you've heard me say this before. You cannot give away what you haven't first received. If you're struggling with forgiving people, it's because you don't truly know deep down in every place that you are forgiven of every sin. If you're struggling to love someone, if I'm struggling to love Troy because of something, it's because there's still an area in me that I haven't received the fullness of the love of God, and I need to just be open to what God wants to do. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But what does it look like? What does it look like? In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes, he says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the width, the height, and the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is the key. And to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. We try and live out of our heads when we need to live out of the Spirit. We need to live out of revelation. We try to understand things with our minds that we can't comprehend, but we need the revelation of the knowledge of the love of God. So what does it look like? What does love look like? Well, here's just some examples. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Anyone find that easy? People with gift of mercy. My wife just loads with mercy. I don't think I've ever seen her be unkind. It just flows. People with gift of mercy, it's just like, wow, they are so kind. When some of us are like, ah, some of us are like, wow, they are so kind. Forgive one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ Jesus. There's the kindness and compassion. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God forgave you in Christ. That's the love of God revealed. It's the love of God revealed. Kathy did something to me. Maybe she didn't even realize what she did, but I forgive her. If I'm struggling with that, I do it anyway. And if I'm still struggling with that, I start to pray for her. Because you know what happens when you start to pray for someone that you can't forgive? Your heart starts to turn. You cannot stay angry at someone you're praying for. God will start to change your heart. What else does love look like? Romans chapter 12 verse 10. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters in Christ, and outdo one another in showing honour. The love of God revealed looks like putting the other person first. You know, when you're out there at morning tea and you see a little cupcake that you'd really like, and you're like, oh, Tracy's trying to get in front of me. Tracy, you go. It's okay. Tracy, you go. That might be a really silly example. But it's outdo one another in showing honour. Put the other person first. That's what love looks like. It's not about me. It's not about me. Those that have been born again have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We just need to live out the reality of that. Those who have been born again have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What else does love look like? We give. Thinking about our brother and our sister in Brisbane right now. It says in 1 John 3, it says, this is how we come to know what love is. He laid down his life for us, and we should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. The world will see Jesus when the church learns how to love one another. True. Why do we think that the Lord was adding to the early church daily those who were being saved? Because they were looking at it going, there's something going on with these group of people. And it is so good. I'm seeing healings. I'm seeing miracles. I'm seeing people, you know, giving things, helping one another, living life together. I'm seeing all this stuff. And the Spirit of God is telling me I need in. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need but withholds compassion from him, how does the love of God reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but with actions and truth. How do we love one another more deeply? Someone who needs some meals, they've come out of hospital, or they've been coming out of sickness, or they've been going through something. And so we make a meal and we deliver some home-cooked meals for them. I haven't seen someone for a week or two, you know, and they're on my heart. I'm just going to ring them up. We see someone struggling with something even on a Sunday, and we just go over to them and say, how can I help you? It's the love of God revealed in the little things. And the thing about this is that this is for all of us. This is not just for the pastoral care team. This is not just for leaders. This is for all of us. Because the body of Christ is built up in love as each part does its work. We've all got something to contribute. We've all got something to give. Is there an amen? What does the love of God look like? It says in Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus walked humbly. You know, I don't know whether you think about this, but I think about this one often, that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He washed the feet of his disciples, but in the washing of the feet of his disciples, he even washed the feet of the one that he knew would betray him. Oh. If we're really honest, we'd probably be like, you dirty rat. But there was nothing of that in Christ. There was nothing of that in him. He came and he washed the feet of his disciples, including the one that he knew who would betray him. That is the love of God revealed. That's the love of God revealed. And the Lord is doing something in the hearts and lives of the believers where the world responds to things and men and women respond to things a certain way. But we go, no, that's not it. And even if we end up doing that, we're like, oh, that's not it. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to love. I want to believe. I want to hope. The Lord said to me this week, he said, you know, it's time for the people of God to stop speaking out the problem and start to prophesy the answer. We can see what's wrong, but we need to start praying what's right. We need to start aligning with heaven because it is His kingdom come and it's His will be done. We need to stop pointing out what's wrong and we need to start focusing on what it should be. Is there an amen? What does the love of God look like? Hebrews chapter 10. Are we going okay? Okay. Well, good. Good. Sure. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Well, we'll start at verse 23. Let us hold on. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, since He who promised is faithful. Isn't that so good? He who promised is faithful. He's faithful to carry out what He said He will do. He is the keeper of the covenant. And let us watch out. Let us look out for one another. To stir up one another, not in a bad way, but to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen? Encourage one another. Build up one another. Strengthen one another. That's what love looks like. That's the love of God revealed. You know, it's so encouraging when someone comes up to you and says, Tim, I really appreciate this about you. I reckon that's true for each and every one of us. Because there's so much negativity in the airwaves of the world that we need to go up higher. And we need to go, I really, you know, Mary, there is a depth in you. There is a well of living water. And when you pray, and even when you go, yeah, it sends a ripple effect in the spirit world. And I appreciate you that you stand and you pray and you believe. What do we feel like when people just come to us and say, oh, I appreciate this about you? Well, that's the love of God revealed. What does the love of God look like? We go back to Ephesians. We're going to spend a little bit of time in there in a minute. But we give the devil no foothold. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, put away lying. Speak the truth to your neighbor. Because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and don't give the devil an opportunity. When we don't deal with things, we give the enemy a foothold. And that was our series months and months ago that, you know, be free indeed or truly free. When we don't forgive, when we don't communicate, when we don't deal with stuff in our hearts and lives, we give the enemy a foothold. Well, the love of God revealed looks like we don't give the enemy any foothold. If there's a misunderstanding between, I'm looking for someone in the front row, but it's Claude and Danielle. If there's a misunderstanding between me and Claude and Danielle, well, we pick up the phone or we say, can I have coffee with you? Because I need to sort out this misunderstanding. We don't go around and go, oh, that and Claude and Danielle, I tell you. That's not the love of God revealed. This is the love of God revealed. I need to catch up with you because I really appreciate you guys and I want to get rid of any misunderstanding that's between us. What happens if the church starts to do these things? What about if we start to make choices that are aligned with the Word of God rather than within the culture of the world? Because when we're born again into the kingdom of God. Is there an amen? There are so many examples throughout Scripture. I challenge you to go looking for them. There you go. There's your Bible study for the next month. Go looking for what love looks like and allow the Spirit of God to work in you. Because the love of God manifesting is the key to God moving. I'm going to say that again. The love of God manifesting is the key to God moving. And that's why the enemy wants to fill up the wells. He wants to put stuff in there and he wants to block stuff out. Scripture says in Romans 5:5 that the Spirit of God has poured out the love of God into our hearts. Romans 5:5. The Spirit of God has poured out. Not will do. He has. The Spirit of God has poured out the love of God into our hearts. So why? Why? Because we allow our hearts to be cluttered up with other stuff. We don't let go of stuff that we should let go. There's all these dirt and there's these obstacles and there's these boulders and there's these things. And it fills us up, and so there's a mixture of stuff that comes from us. But it's like, God, you have filled me with your love. Reveal it. You know what happens when we start praying stuff? That's not a true question. God answers. When we pray stuff that is aligned with heaven, that is aligned with the Word of God, He answers. And the Word of God says, Lord, you have filled me with your love. So we pray, God, remove anything in me that stops the flow of your love through me in Jesus' name. In Isaiah 58, there's a passage about fasting. But there's so many principles in this that go beyond. But the Lord really opened this up afresh for me with part of this message. Because this is it. Because here were God's people fasting. Look at us, God, we're fasting. See, we're denying ourselves. We're putting sackcloth and ashes on. We're just, you know, here we are, God. But what was happening in the midst of us, like, oh, that Kathy Fallow, I tell you. And Steve Roberts, he just defrauded me of wages. He hasn't paid me for what was owned. And this person over here, they've just done this. This is what was happening. And the Lord says to them, he says, is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day to humble yourselves? You fast with contention. You oppress your workers. You're vicious with one another. You cannot fast as you do today, hoping that your voice is heard on high. Isn't this the kind of fast I've chosen, says the Lord? To break the chains of wickedness, to untie the ropes of the yoke and to set the oppressed free and to tear off every yoke. Wow, come on. Is that what we want to see in Bundaberg? Break the chains of wickedness. Untie the ropes of the yoke. Set the oppressed free. Tear off every yoke. Tear off the restriction. Pull out the things that have been binding people. Every addiction. Everything that's kept them. Then he says this. And is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Is it not to bring the poor and homeless into your house? Is it not to clothe the naked when you see them and not to ignore your own flesh and blood? There's some practical things in there, isn't there? About the love of God being revealed. And then there's a promise. He says, then your light will appear like the dawn. And your healing will come quickly. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And when you call, I will say, here I am. So get rid of the yoke among you, the finger pointing, the malicious speaking, and offer yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted one, and your light will shine in the darkness and your night will be like noonday. The Lord will always lead you. He will satisfy you in a parched land. It's pretty parched right now, isn't it? And he will strengthen your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and a spring whose water never runs dry. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Doesn't matter what's happening in the natural. Doesn't matter what's happening around us. Doesn't matter if there's drought around us, that we will be like a well-watered garden that never runs dry. That's who we are as people in Christ. That is who we are. He's just calling us to love. Love the one in front of you. You gotta love me, Kathy. I'm in front of you. I don't just mean today. I mean this afternoon when you go to Willie's. When you go to the servo to fill up. When you meet in home group tomorrow. The women's hour of power. Or when you meet with coffee with someone. Or when you're in your workplace. Or when your next door neighbor loves the one in front of you. And say, God, give me your heart. Lord, I need your heart. This is a song that we used to sing, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom cause. Wow, that's a prayer and a half. Sometimes we've got to put stuff off. We've got to put stuff on. It says that in Scripture. Put off. Put off all malice. Put off rage. Put off. And put on. Put on love. Put on joy. Put on hope. Take it off. Take off what needs to go. Last weekend in one of the sessions, Katie spoke about divine exchange. And it popped out again last Sunday morning. Divine exchange. That is a taking off and a putting on. That is, Lord, I'm giving you my heaviness and I'm receiving a garment of praise. I'm giving you my mourning and I'm receiving all of gladness. I'm giving you my hurt and my trauma and the things that I've been through in life, and I receive your salvation. I receive your healing. I receive your hope. I receive your joy. I'm giving you these past experiences and I'm receiving what you have for me. Is there an amen? If we could stay a bit longer, I'd read again from Ephesians 4 and even Colossians chapter 3. It's full of it. It's full of examples. It says, let me just read a couple of verses. As God's chosen ones, as God, you are God's chosen one. Maybe you need to say that over your life. I'm God's chosen one. Okay, we've got 6 people that believe that. I am God's chosen one. Louder. I am God's chosen one. Amen. Holy and dearly loved. Let it go deep. So he says, put on. There's a choice. God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus so loved that he laid his life. He went to the cross. We see example after example after example in Scripture. And here Paul says to the church, put on compassion. Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you are also to forgive. And above all, put on love. There it is. Make the choice. Put it on. Which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were called in one body, rule as umpire in your hearts and be thankful. What a beautiful picture of people that were scattered through race or gender or culture or relational breakdowns, people that are scattered everywhere. And he says, put on love. Put it on. And let the peace of Christ rule as umpire in your hearts. The church is the answer to the division in our nation. But Christ is the answer. We have to have the answer in us. We put on love. It binds us together. And we let the peace of Christ rule as umpire in our hearts. And we look at each other and go, you are my brother and sister. We are one. We are one in Christ. It's what the Word of God says. We are one. We are one. And the Lord just brings us together in perfect unity. You know, daily we face choices to love or not. Is that a fair comment? Daily. We face choices. We all face choices to love or not. I pray that the Spirit of God will be continuing to work in us that we would choose love, which covers a multitude of sin. We put on love, that we allow the love of God to be revealed. And the love of God revealed is through all different kinds of ways, through all different kinds of means. Yes, it may be that you give a gift to somebody. But yes, it may be that you just hug somebody that's in front of you because you know that they need a hug. Maybe it's this, you know, someone, you know, that you're thinking of, you just reach out to them on the phone. Whether it's the person at the checkout and you look at them and go, man, they're under stress today. And you look at the name tag on their tag and you say, hey, Jim, I really appreciate your service today. Thank you and God bless. And walk away. You never know what the Spirit of God will do through that little statement. Let me close with this. In 1 John 4, he writes, and he's writing about love, and he says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love doesn't know God, because God is love. You see, this is the connection. If we truly know God, and we're not talking about our minds here, we're talking about a revelation, we're talking about an intimacy, about a relationship with Him. If we know God, we will love one another. The one who does not love doesn't know God, because God is love. You know, the thing about any relationship and any group of people is there will always be stuff that happens. Has anyone part of a family that stuff has never happened? Okay, so no one put their hand up. Wherever people are, stuff happens. Funny that. But it's not that the stuff happens, it's in how we deal with it. It's how we outwork. It's how we love. It's how we make the choice. It's how we, you know, as I said, I'll just use them as an example because you're the only ones in the front row. So, like, it's more people in the front row. We deal with the misunderstandings. It's what we do. We put on love. God's love is revealed, there's the word, among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is the love of God revealed. Amen. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must love one another. There's a bit of an urging here. Dear friends, if God loves us in this way, we must love one another. It's not like, oh, you know, when you feel like it, you know, when you're going well, when things are really good, just love one another. No, we must love one another. Choose love. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another and God remains in us and His love is made complete in us, this is how we know that we remain in Him. And He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Verse 16 says, God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this way, love is made complete, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not yet made complete in love. And then he wraps it up. And he says, we love because God first loved us. You need to be reminded of the love of God for you today. We love because God first loved us. But then John's an interesting writer. Because under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because he puts these little gold nuggets in there that's just so full of encouragement, but then he just goes, I'm going to challenge you right now. And he says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. Now we have to understand the Greek word for hate doesn't mean what we think it means. It means love less. It means if I say I love God, but I love you less, the equation's not equaling. I can't say I love God and yet treat Kathy really badly. It doesn't make sense. Because for the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he is seeing cannot love God whom he's not seeing. This is our prayer. Bundaberg needs to see the love of God revealed. The barbecues, the Matt and the team run, they're a part of it. People sharing their faith and their journey through the week in different places, that's a part of it. But I believe that the Spirit of God is doing a work in us, because there's a flow of the Spirit, but we've got to understand love. There's a flow of the Spirit, but we have to allow our character to be moulded, to be made more mature and complete in Christ. I remember years ago, and I'm sorry for the people that have heard this, and team, if you want to come up the front, music team. I was sitting in my office and I just realised as I was talking to someone during the week, 20 years ago, how many people remember a conversation with God 20 years ago? There's a few of us that we know that God spoke something to us that we haven't yet seen. Yep. He spoke to us about some things, and one of the things he spoke to us about 20 years ago was about a love revival. A revival, a move of the Spirit, a work of God that was based on his love. And because it was based on his love, and because it was based on his love, it wasn't going to get tainted. The thing he said to me, he said, son, I could bring revival like that with one word. Do we understand that when God speaks one word, it changes everything? When he said, let there be light, boom, there was light. I don't think we realize in the midst of our battles and situations that we just, one word from God, one thing can change everything. But he said to me 20 years ago, he said, but the work of my Spirit comes and goes because of man gets in the way. And I thought, well, how true is that? I started to study revival. I started to study revivals from Hebrides or from Wales or from Azusa Street or from all kinds of places. And there was common things in there. And one of the common things is that eventually they stopped. Because man got in the way. There was jealousy, there was competition, there was strife. There was all kinds of things that started to get in the middle of it. People got burnt out, they got worn out. Evan Roberts went away and just hid away. People say stuff, people do stuff, there's stuff happening, and eventually it gets so much that Evan Roberts just had to walk away. And I look at that and say, you know, the Spirit of God. We don't want just the move of God that is here today and gone in 6 months. We don't just want a period. God is raising up sons and daughters who are not with the chickens anymore, but they're with the eagles. And the way that we love is the way that he loves, and the way that we walk is the way he walks. And we are reflecting his image and his glory more and more. Is there an amen? And when we start to walk this way, when we start to love this way, when we make the choices to put on love and to forgive and be kind and compassionate, to walk humbly, to love one another, encourage one another, the Spirit of God is like a brooding dove. He gets attracted to it. Oh. So this morning we come afresh to the foot of the cross. Say, Lord, we repent of where we haven't walked in love. And we ask that you would fill us afresh with your Spirit. That anything that's in us that shouldn't be goes. Anything from our past that still dictates to our present. Trauma, holy, be released in Jesus' name. Hurt, pain, be released in Jesus' name. Oh, fill us, Lord. Move amongst us. This new chapter, this new season, move amongst us that we would love the way that you love. And that people would experience your presence and your power and your love, God. Because you came to set the captives free and it's still happening today. Lord, let us love the way that you love. We make a stand today for the love of God. We make a stand for righteousness. We make a stand for the kingdom of God. Is there an amen? Lord, it's your kingdom come. And your will be done. Right here, as it is in heaven. Jesus, we worship you. Lord, we worship you, Jesus. We fix our eyes on you today. We give everything to you that we need to give to you, and we receive from you today. We receive from you today more of your love, more of your joy, more of your peace. So, let's come to Jesus this morning. You gave the life for me. There's a transaction. Nailed to the cross, you crucified all my sin and shame. It was washed by your mercy. Yep, divine exchange. You are treasure I found. My reason for living so late. Become an offering to the one who is worthy. Jesus, worthy. All praise to the Lord Most High. All praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, thy King of heaven, my King forever. Oh, Jesus, we yield to you in this morning time. You stormed the gates of my heart, oh yes. The veil in between was torn apart. Now you hold the keys to the grave. Cause you bring things to life, new stones away. All praise to the Lord Most High. All praise to the one who saved my life. All praise Jesus Christ, our King of heaven, my King. Let's sing our praise. All praise to the Lord Most High. All praise to the one who saved my life. All praise Jesus Christ, our King of heaven, my King forever. So if there's anything this morning that you feel that you need to give to God, let divine exchange just take place. Let a heavenly transaction just take place in your heart today. Lord, shoot me well. I lift my hand. Complete my whole life, my whole life before you. And I lift my head to play my whole life. My whole life now is for you. And I lift my head to play my whole life. My whole life. before you. And I lift my hands up and I hold my whole life down before your feet. All praise to the Most High. All praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, my King of heaven, my King forever. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life down before you. And I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life now before you. And I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life down before you. And I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life now is for you. Yes, Lord. Lord, in our lives, be glorified. In our lives, Lord, be glorified. In your church, be glorified, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. Praise that you would be glorified. That we would love the way that you love. Let your love manifest in us and through us in every way, O God. Remove every splinter. Remove every blockage. We receive from you afresh today. Jesus. I just feel the Lord saying to say to you, go and be my hands. Go and be my feet. Go and be my voice. Go and love. Go and love someone. Reach out to them. Pray for them. And see the love of God at work. And if you need prayer for anything today, please. The front is open. The front is open today if you need prayer for healing, encouragement. You need just someone to lift up your arms in the battle, please come. And the team will pray with you today. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus.